We have been in a message series for the past few weeks calling Living on Life Support, looking at different lifelines that God extends to us as believers in Jesus to get us through in this life as we attempt to follow him. And so each week we've looked at a different lifeline. So far we've looked first at the Bible as our owner's manual, that you can't make it through without using the owner's manual, your Bible. Then we talked about finding God's purpose in the midst of our problems. Problems don't just happen. God's there within them to teach us, to show us something. And we talked about allowing God to be our guidance counselor through the Holy Spirit that is outpoured into us as believers. And then last week we talked about the church as our spiritual family and just the importance of that connection to the family of God. This week's lifeline may be one that's one of the more predictable ones that you maybe thought was coming if you've given thought to what's coming next, and maybe even a lifeline that you've been expecting. This week we're going to be talking about the lifeline of communication, communicating with God. We're talking about prayer. But you know, the truth is I've preached on prayer more than once, and to be honest, I sometimes have this query inside me over subjects that we've talked about often to think, do I really want to do another message on prayer, or on something we've talked about often? Well, friends, the truth of the matter is if you really want to have the lifelines that God has extended to you for life support, you can't skip talking about prayer. It's such an essential part. This is one of the most critical, crucial lifelines available to us. Yet it's also one of the most neglected. That is, until we have a tragedy or until something bad happens in our life. Even people who don't normally turn to God, they often do through prayer when the need becomes great enough, when things become just bad enough. There are a lot of foxhole prayers that go up where people become so concerned over a situation that they finally begin to talk to God about it. As a matter of fact, when we're talking about lifelines, the top three, I would say, most important critical lifelines to us that we have are two that we've talked about already, making the Bible your owner's manual. Second is the Holy Spirit being your guidance counselor. And then this third one, communicating with God and prayer. Not in any particular order, but I would say those are the three most critical. Not the last ditch effort, foxhole kind of prayers, but a prayer life where we're regularly communicating with God on a regular basis, and he's communicating with us. So today's lifeline is communicating with God, and let's communicate with him now. Go to prayer as we prepare to hear what he has for us in this area. God, thank you for extending to us life. First, life in your son, Jesus Christ, because we don't know true life until we know Jesus. So we thank you that you've extended life to us through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And now, God, we thank you for the support, the lifelines that come because of what Jesus has done. All the things we've been talking about up to this week and next week as we close this series, all those important lifelines that are so crucial to our life, and this very important one of communicating with you. And God, my prayer is this, is that we leave here today feeling like we've had a new connect with you. Some new connection, communication to you. That even if there are those of us in this room this morning that never talk to you on a regular basis, that by the time we wrap up this morning, there's been a connect and a start of something new. And even for those that maybe of us that talk to you every day, that today we would have some new connection in our communication with you. So God, Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk about some tips to really connect with God, but before we do that, we want to kind of, before we look at prayer in that kind of more formal fashion, let's talk about it in a little more organic way. Communicating with God isn't about a right process or a right formula. It's not about just a right process or a right formula. To embrace it as the lifeline that God makes it, that God intends it to be, it needs to be regular, as normal, as comfortable, as sustaining, as breathing. As breathing. Have you ever thought about the fact that breathing is such a natural occurrence in your body that you aren't even aware it's happening most of the time? It's just doing it. You're just breathing without thinking about it. It's just always happening. often, unless something causes the breathing to be in distress, we don't even think about the fact that it's going on. And communicating with God can become that natural. Natural as taking in breath and letting breath out and breathing. We're just constantly in that connection with God. It's something as natural that's happening kind of all the time. When the Bible says to us to pray without ceasing, just what is it you think that it's talking about? Does it mean that we've got to be on our face 24 hours a day? Does it need to mean that we need to go to some monastery and shave our heads and say some strange chants? Is that what it's talking about? That's not what God's talking about at all. He's talking about our communicating being just as natural, just as constant, as consistent with God as our very breathing, as our breathing is. What do we do so that our communication with God is that natural and that regular? John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." Now, a lot of people look at that verse and they go straight to focusing on the asking and God giving us what we ask for, like God's some sort of genie in a golden lamp or something like that. But listen, that's not the essence of this verse. That's not the focus. The key, the focal point of this verse is, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. That's the focus of this verse. Remaining and him remaining in you. Communicating with God as a lifeline is simply this: remaining in Christ always and allowing his word to remain in you. What we really see here is a two-part relationship, being in Christ and his word being in us. I like the way that the contemporary English version of the Bible translates this verse. It says this, it says, "Stay joined to me and let my teachings become part of you. Then you can pray for whatever you want, and your prayer will be answered." Now, doesn't that just say it all? We need to stay joined to Christ. That's an every moment thing, just like breathing. And let his teaching become part of you. I just find that verse so refreshing. Several years ago, I had to get an MRI on my neck. I'd been struggling with a herniated disc in my neck. I didn't know that's what was bothering me until the MRI, but what it would do is it would cause a pain in my shoulder. It started there and then radiated down my arm and then came to the point that two of my fingers in my right hand were like numb most of the time. And sometimes it would the pain would be just uncomfortable, and sometimes the pain would be pretty intense. I tried doing physical therapy, taking different anti-inflammatory medications. I even did this silly harness thing that you put your, anybody do this before? You put your head in it and it loops over the door behind you and kind of pulls you up to stretch the vertebrae. It was bizarre. It actually felt really good while you were doing it, but you looked really silly as you did it. Doing all those things probably decreased the symptoms about 50% or so. But I came to the place where the doctor was thinking that maybe some cortisone shots, injections in my neck would help. So I ended up going through a few rounds of this delicate shot therapy in between the vertebrae of my neck. And the shots, they lessened the inflammation. It just helped greatly. And after 6 or 7 years, I still get some symptoms of the problem, especially if I put myself in a position or do some labor that impacts that part of my neck. But overall, the difficult pain, the restrictions have stayed relieved. But friends, I've got to tell you, the worst part of this whole experience for me was when I got the MRI. I mean, MRIs aren't usually a painful thing, but it had become so uncomfortable that some positions I would place my body in were incredibly painful. And in the MRI, I had to stay still for some time in some of those positions. One of the most uncomfortable positions for me is when I would lay flat on my back. I found that if I could prop up a couple pillows at home in bed underneath my head, then I was able to sleep fairly well through the night. But when I did the MRI, one of the positions was to lay flat on my back on this hard table and have to be still without moving for 25 minutes. Friends, I'm not a complainer. My pain tolerance, I believe, is pretty decent. But I have to tell you that the pain in that position was pretty intense. Every place that had hurt me in my neck and my shoulder and my arm and my hand, all of it was happening all at the same time as that part of my neck was being irritated, probably the nerve being pinched in the process. I had to focus very quickly if I were going to stay still for 25 minutes. And do you know what got me through? It was the fact that I stayed joined with Christ. That I stayed joined with Christ. I mean, talk about a lifeline. I don't know how people get through the difficult times of their life without being joined with Christ. I lay on that table and I began praying and singing praise songs in my heart and in my head. If I hadn't had that focal point, I'm not sure I would have gotten through without moving. And then I would have had to do it all over again. One thing I noticed when I was lying there was my breathing. I could literally feel my chest moving up and down. And I was aware of my breathing in that moment. I was so aware of my need to be joined with Christ, just like your breathing. So the biggest thing that we need to get down in communication with God is to make sure it is as regular, as normal, as breathing, because if you stop breathing, when air is no longer coming in and out of your lungs, you will die. And in the life of a believer, when that regular flow of communicating to God gets shut off in your life, you begin to die spiritually. I've watched it happen in people, and it just takes the spiritual wind right out of their sails, and they fall away from God and settle into this kind of mediocre existence. I've seen it happen so many times, this mediocre existence. They think they're walking with God, but they're really on no plane with God at all, that it's kind of existing in this breathless life of not being connected to God. I want to spend the rest of our time today talking about some tips to communicating with God and kind of our more formal times of prayer. We want the moment-by-moment communicating with God, this breath relationship with God, but we also need to set apart prayer times, time to pray as we see Jesus did often when he walked on this earth. So here are four tips for communicating with God in that kind of fashion. And the first tip is this: you need to learn to be still. To be still. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, many people have heard the first part of that scripture, "Be still and know that I am God," but how many of us do it? How many of us actually allow ourselves to become still before God? I mean, when we look at the fast-paced lifestyle of this world that we all live in and we hear "be still," most of us want to respond, "You got to be kidding me. Where and how am I ever going to be still?" But that's what God says. It's the first step in communicating with him is to be still. Listen to the illustration that David gives us of this in Psalm 131, verse 2. It says, "But I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is a soul, and my soul within." We've all seen that picture before, right? A baby's kind of fussing and irritated and doesn't want to settle down. No matter what you can do, you can't get that child to be quiet. And then the mother walks in the room and throws out her arms and that scoops up that child, and the child just snuggles up close and almost instantly becomes quiet, peaceful, and still. I was afraid we were going to see that example with Millie today. I was ready, but she was still, and she was even more still when she got to her mama. God says to us, when you come to me in prayer and you quiet yourself, you have the same peaceful position that the baby does when it's in his or her mother's arms where it's safe. What that means for you and me is that we need to schedule times of quietness away from the busy, hectic life. The truth is that this will provide a lifeline of stability with God that will support you when things are less quiet, when you face the things that are more chaotic. We know that Jesus did this. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Now, that verse isn't saying that Jesus was lonely. It's saying that he intentionally got alone to be with God. Now look, if Jesus was God and he needed to be intentional about being still and being quiet, how much more do you and I need to do that? We need what I'm going to call an MDR. And an MDR is this, a minimum daily requirement of time alone with God, of quiet time with God. And what's that minimum requirement? Well, I'm going to say it's like 15 minutes a day at least. That's your minimum requirement to be alone with God with no noises, no sounds, no other connections with other people, just you and God. And then it's also really good for you to be and me to have a couple, every couple months or so, to take a longer period, maybe half a day, a couple hours, a half a day, maybe a whole day, just to be alone, just to get away with God. Let's talk what that might look like. There are different ways to connect with God in those longer periods of time. You don't have to just sit in complete silence all the time. That would drive some of us nuts, although some of us need to learn to do that. But you don't have to be completely silent all the time. One way that some people connect with God is through nature. When they're out in nature, they're able to really get really close to God. When some people see the beauty and the majesty of what God's made, they're suddenly aware of Him and they want to connect with Him. One of my favorite nature places to be is on a hiking trail somewhere. It doesn't have to be a difficult trail, although that's okay. But I just like being out in a way, feeling like that feeling of being on a hiking trail. Now, unfortunately, over the years, I feel like I've utilized that less and less. But there aren't many more places that I've been than being out hiking on a trail somewhere that I feel more peaceful and alone with God. Each year for the past 12 years, my family and I have been able to spend a week in the Hocking Hills, where we hiked some of the trails around Old Man's Cave. Some years we hike more than others. We have friends who own a cabin there who've allowed us to use it, and it's become kind of this vacation destination that almost is more like a family retreat over the years. Well, that changes for us for the first time this year. The friends of ours who own the cabin are retiring. They're going to be living in the cabin. So we're thrilled for them, but we're realizing we're at the end of a great getaway time for our family that feels like a great loss. When I'm hiking in God's creation, I have such a strong sense of His majesty and His presence. And the truth is that I simply don't do it enough. And with learning that the cabin is now done for us, I realize that maybe we've even taken that time too much for granted. Never take alone time with God for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't put it off. Don't crowd it out. Take the time to get alone with God. God's made some of us, we connect with God maybe through art or through music. Some people become absolutely ecstatic over pieces of music or the lyrics of a music that accompanies it. For some, it's the crescendos and the decrescendos and the movement and the beauty and the sound. Their senses connect through music and suddenly their heart is open to connect with God in new ways. In our last church, I made a connection with a young man named Elliot Smith. He was a musician who graduated from the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. And he would come occasionally and fill in and play piano for us in our church. He went on from college to teach a freshman choir class at Cincinnati Christian College. And for a couple of years, what he would do is he would take his choir away on an overnight retreat at a nearby retreat center, and he asked me to come in and give a talk on worship. So I would come in and give this talk on worship, and I began to tell him, "Oh, after I do the talk, see if you can get some students who will lead some worship after we've talked about it." Well, one year I gave my talk on worship, and then there were a couple guys from the group to lead students who led worship, and when they sang, I was just taken to a different place. All these students in the room just really connecting to God. I felt like they were teaching me about worship. And even though they were there in a group, their hearts were just so alone with God as well. Many of these young people were worshiping from their very core, from their very passion, with passion. And I was just taken into the presence of Jesus in just a really fresh and a new way. Well, after we were done, Elliot was walking with me out to my car for me to leave before he went back in with the students. And he told me, he said, "You know, I connect most to God." He'd heard my talk about worship, about connecting with God. And he said, "I connect most to God through the classics, like Bach and Beethoven." He said that he likes the contemporary stuff that the students sang and the worship that we did after the talk. But he said, "It's really the classic stuff that resonates the most with me because of the power of the music." And that just made complete sense to me. This man was trained in music, so of course he could connect to God through these large movements of music. These young people ushered me into God's presence with modern worship songs. They were singing, but for others like Elliot, who was a young person as well, it was the classical music that moved him. For some, it might be hymns. For others, it may be Christian rock. Friends, if it's Christ-focused, edifying, and encouraging, and it leads you into the presence of God as you get alone with him, then it's a wonderful tool to take with you to be in a more quiet place. Then there are different ways that we can connect to God in those longer periods of time. Maybe for you, it's a hot tub. That's just a place where you get quiet and alone and feel untouched by the world. Or maybe it's floating in a pool. Maybe it's, for some people, it's working out. That doesn't sound quiet to me. That sounds painful. But for those that do that, that is a place they're quiet and alone with God. Maybe it's running or jogging. Mowing the lawn for me is a great place to be alone with God. God's given me whole message series ideas while I've been mowing the lawn before. The trick is to find what does it for you and then do it. Find your place to be still and use that to communicate with God and to allow him to communicate with you. Here's a second tip to prayer. It's this: be sincere. Just be sincere. Let it be the real you. If you're really going to communicate with God and want to truly hear his heart in return, you have got to be honest. You've got to be authentic. False pretense is the biggest enemy to our relationship with God and to the church. Friends, if we're not going to be real with God and with others, if we're putting up facades or wearing masks, then you know what? We're just playing a game. I had a pastor while I was in college who said something once in a sermon that stuck with me. He said, God doesn't play games. I don't remember anything else he said in that sermon. I don't know if I remember anything else he said in any sermon, but that stuck with me. God doesn't play games. And if God's not going to play a game, why do we want to try to play a game with him? I've never forgotten that. God wants the real thing, and he wants the real you. You have to be real about who you are and about how you feel with God. In Jesus' day, there was this group of guys who were pros at insincere prayers. They were very pious about it. They prayed 3 times a day at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3 p.m. They always prayed in public places so that everybody else could see how spiritual, how pious, how righteous they were. But they weren't sincere. In fact, they just did it for show. They were showing off. These guys were called the Pharisees. And Jesus was appalled by their practice. They pretended to be talking to God and to be connected to God, but they weren't at all because it was just a show. Jesus made it very clear that these guys weren't communicating with God. Listen to his words from the Message paraphrase of the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. Now, the Message is a paraphrase of scripture, trying to put it in kind of contemporary words for us. You shouldn't use a paraphrase as your steady diet in Bible reading because it's not the exact translation. You should be comparing with the real translation as well. But there are times where it really communicates things in a poignant way that really helps you to grasp it. And this is one of those times in Matthew 6, 5 through 6 from the Message paraphrase. Listen to this, what it says. It says, and when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Isn't that an amazing word? Isn't that a powerful and a beautiful word? Jesus gives the two biggest barriers that keep us from communication with God. The first is trying to impress others. When you're trying to impress others with your prayer, there's no way you can communicate to God because you can't focus on God and other people at the same time. You have to give all the focus to God. Have you ever been in a prayer group with others praying? And the whole time someone else is praying, you're just thinking about what you're going to say next. when they get done saying what they're saying, you're not really paying attention to them. If you've prayed with others in that kind of a setting, I bet that's happened to you because it's happened to me. And maybe you've never prayed in a setting and in a setting with others, and maybe it's time to start doing that. But sometimes is that temptation to not really be about what others are doing, but just thinking about what you're going to say. When you're praying with others, the power of the time is to be agreeing together with God in what's being prayed. And you can't do that when you're not really listening to what others are praying. Then as they pray, God will use that to direct you and others in ways to pray. Don't try to come up with something to say to God just to be a part of a prayer time. And when it's your turn, instead pray from the heart. Just allow the Holy Spirit to communicate through you what it is that he wants to communicate. A second barrier Jesus shares here is trying to impress God with our prayers. We often do this without really thinking about what we're doing. We say what we think God wants to hear instead of what's really on our heart. Have you ever done that? You're going to repeat the words you've heard others say. Say the words you think you're supposed to say to God instead of speaking to him from your heart. It's really easy to fall into old Christian cliches and not really express our heart before him. And when we do that, we're not communicating for real with God. Look, just talk to God like you talk to your best friend, but even more than your closest friend, because there are some things you won't even tell a closest friend, but you can tell God absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Don't worry about whether you think you're going to be offensive. Just speak to God from the heart. Tell him what's really happening in your life, what you're really feeling, what really confuses you, what really frustrates you, why you think things should be. Just talk to him from the heart. He wants so much to connect with you in that way. And so those are a couple barriers to our prayer. Here's the third tip to our prayer, and it's this. It's to be simple. Be simple. Be sincere. Being sincere leads us right into being simple. We don't need to make it complicated. We don't need to use fancy words or a lot of repetition. There's not a certain word or a phrase that's going to get you better access to God. If you forget to say that, then it doesn't really count. I've got to get this out. It doesn't work that way. As a believer in Christ, Jesus has already, he's paved the way to give you access to God. It's not the right words that are going to get you access. Jesus has given you access to God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard in their many words." When Jesus said in Matthew that they were to seek, knock, and ask, he says that in a place in Matthew. He wasn't saying repeating a certain word or a certain phrase over and over and over again so that finally you're going to get God's attention. When God has us repeat prayers, it's not to make him listen to us, it's to make us listen to him. It's to help us separate what we think and what we think we really want from what he knows is best for us. There's nothing wrong with asking God over and over for something as long as you realize it's not to get him to do something for you as much as it's able to get you to concentrate on him and what his will is in the matter. And we learn from this verse that it's not a matter of more words. I don't know about you, but I find that to be a really great relief. Often I'm praying about something and I feel like I just got to get all the filler words in, all the details in, as if God doesn't know them. And if I don't cover all the bases with my prayer, then God might miss something. I mean, how silly is that? Listen, God already has got the message, the desire of your heart from you before you even pray it. You're not praying for him to learn something. You're praying for your faith and for your belief that he's going to do something about it. Which brings us to the final tip in communicating with God, and it's this. Believe God will answer. When you pray, believe God will answer. There are two components to God answering our prayers. God's grace and your faith. God's grace and your faith. When we pray, what we're doing is putting our faith in God's grace. putting our faith, our belief in God's grace. Grace is a free gift from God. And we need to remember that the only reason that we can connect to God at all is because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's because of the blood of Jesus, his death and resurrection, that we even have the privilege to enter into the presence of God in prayer. We could never connect with God on our own. God's holy and he's perfect, but we're sinful and we're separated. There's no way that we can, with a perfect and holy God, that we can be in right communication with him on our own. We need a bridge. We need a mediator. We need someone to connect us to God, because God realized our need and that we could in no way ever make connection on our own. He came himself to repair our broken connection through the form of Jesus. That's why Jesus died for our sins and our imperfections, so that we could now connect and communicate with God. It's a free gift. And it's the grace component in our prayers. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then, get this, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of Jesus, friends, we get to approach the throne of God. Friends, after all that Jesus did to give us a lifeline of communication with God, how can we not have faith in him and what he's going to do in that communication? Have confidence as you approach God. Jesus has given us his life so that your prayers will be heard and God will answer them by his grace. Let me conclude with this, friends. Communicating with God is never, ever about getting what you want or what it is you think you want. And the sooner that we can make that adjustment in our thinking, our perspective, the sooner we'll get to the real lifeline of what prayer is meant to be. Communicating with God, prayer is about connecting your heart to his heart. Expressing all that you think, all that you feel, all that you desire, and then trusting him to be your support in whatever his will is and whatever his outcome is in your situation. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before his death on the cross, he didn't pray, God, here's my list, here's my requests, here's my desire, make it so, God. No, he shared with God his heart. He said, I don't really want to go through the agony that I'm about to go through. I really don't, Father. If you can take this away from me, if you can do it any other way, please do that, God. That's being real with God, isn't it? But then he simply surrendered his heart to God's heart and said, but not my will, Father. Let your will be done. And that, friends, is the heart of communicating with God. You share all that you need to share and you say, but God, not my will, your will be done. That's the lifeline that you and I, we can't live without. We can't live without. This morning, instead of me closing in prayer as I usually do, we're going to do something a little different with a few moments of quietness where we can pray to God. Mike's going to play some quiet music in the background to help focus us a bit, but in these moments before we close, I want you to posture yourself before God however you choose. You may want to stay seated with your eyes closed. You may want to come forward and kneel on the steps or stand along the platform. You may want to turn and kneel down at the seat that you're sitting in. You may want to lay prostrate on the floor before God. You may want to stand off somewhere in the room. You may want to stay exactly where you are. But position yourself, posture yourself before God the way that you feel led to do. And now when you do that, I'm going to lead us with kind of some headlines, some guides to our time of quietness and prayer. I'll mention an area of focus and then simply speak to God about it. You can do it quietly on your own. You can pray out loud. You can join with somebody next to you and pray in community with others, however you feel led to do. But right now, let's begin by quieting ourselves. So unless there's another posture God is leading you to take, unless he's telling you to move somewhere else in the room, I ask you just would close your eyes with me and begin to be in his quietness. And we're just going to start by being quiet. start by listening for God being still. When's the last time that you were just still? And as you're still, listen for God. Maybe he wants to speak a word to you this morning, right to your heart. Now, as we're being still, let's first cleanse our hearts with confession. If there's anything that you need to confess before God, any thoughts or behaviors that take you away from God instead of closer to him, simply confess to him. You may want to do this one on your own, simply to yourself, but confess your heart to God, whatever it is. Maybe you're in this room today and you've never invited Jesus into your life. And you're hearing about God in a real way this morning. And that's what you need to confess. Jesus, I've never received forgiveness for my sins. Well, you can confess to him today. And you can say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart today. I'm beginning a relationship with you today. Take a moment in quietness to confess whatever you need to confess before God. Friends, whether you know Jesus already or not, confess to him. Now spend a few moments giving praise to God, both simply for who he is and also for what he has done. You may want to pray right out loud. You may want to praise him for something. Thank you, God, something out loud. You may want to do that with others, but take some moments to praise God for who he is and for what he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Now, friends, give to God your heaviest burdens. What's weighing you down? What's beating you up? What's troubling your soul and your mind? What's dragging you down? Give them to God. Submit them to God. Hand them over now. Tell him where you hurt. In this moment of quietness, give it to him. You feel the weight of those things that maybe were pressing on your shoulders or in your heart. Feel that being lifted now. As God takes those and carries that burden with you, he says, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As he lightens your load right now, right here. And now let's enter into a time to petition God, to ask of God. Ask first for your will, the will of your heart to match the will of his heart. God, might all that I want be in line with what you want for me. Ask the two to come together. And then ask for the needs of others. Lift up prayer concerns and requests before God, and then ask Him for your needs last, to put others before yourself. So petition God, ask of Him. Take a moment now to pray for the body of Old Fort Church. That's the people. That's the church. And pray for us to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill your life and to fill the life of this church. And pray for our impact for Jesus in the region and the world that we're in. Pray now. Ask the Holy Spirit to come down on His church in Old Fort. And now finally this morning, take just a couple moments to simply be silent before God and to listen for His voice. Maybe ask God the question, God, how do you see me? Ask God, how do you see me? And then stop and listen for what the Spirit might say or the image the Spirit may show you. Be open. God, how do you see me? Times it takes a moment or two to allow ourselves to really connect to His Spirit. So take that moment or two right now. We're in no hurry. God, how do you see me? He knows where it's been heavy. He knows where it's been hard, but He sees you in a new place. Now ask, how do you see this church? And again, listen to what the Spirit might say and see the image that the Spirit may give you of what He wants in this church. So let's just be quiet and listen to Him speak to us again. God, how do you see this church? For some of us, friends, it's been a very long time since we've been quiet and still and silent. This is the most quiet place we've been in for a very long time. This is the kind of connection that God wants to have with you often. To be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Lord Jesus, we praise You. Holy Spirit, we embrace You. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, friends, I would love to hear, as you ask that question of God, how do you see me, or how do you see this church, I'd love to hear some of your responses. that you could share with me at some time. Maybe somebody would be willing to share now. Anybody willing to share what God said to you in that time? Either about yourself or the church? Yes, Lindsay. Amen. 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 Be the light, the hope, and the community. Anybody else hear anything from God this morning? Yes. The lighthouse, wow. Praise God. Jerry. Jesus, others in you to choose joy. Praise God. Let me tell you what happened with me at 8:30 when I asked that about the church, and then what happened with me when I did that today to ask about the church. At 8:30 was very much like both of you. I could see our church like a light that you could see from 53 as you go by, a place that is drawing people to Jesus. That's what I could see. And then as I prayed that today, I very distinctly saw bodies from this church going out. And it started with Diane Dietz. And I saw Nola Murray, and I saw many others, Gary, and many others in stores in the community with the joy of Jesus in their face, connecting Jesus to them. And God loves you. He has this deep connect that he wants to have with you. But sometimes we have to still our hearts, we have to still our minds enough to hear him and to practice that quietness so we can connect with him on that regular basis until it becomes as simple and as easy as breathing. I'm just connecting with, it's not something I try to do, something I'm just connecting with God all through my day, as easy, as simple as breathing. That's communicating with God. We're going to do a little worship as we close. I want to tell you what I saw when I asked the Lord what he thinks of me, what he sees in me. I physically felt like God was grabbing me by the head to stretch me up, to stand me tall, to say that we need to stand bold in these times that we're in. Like he was lifting me up and emboldening me. God loves you. God wants to connect with you in a personal way. God wants to embolden all of us, that the world that is so desperately dying out there can know the Jesus that we know. Let's walk with him. Let's talk with him. Let's communicate with him. Let's be real with him and one another. In the name of Jesus.